So I wanted to, we almost finished last week, but we didn't quite finish the topic from last week, so I just want to finish that off. Not last week, from Monday. And then we'll discuss a smaller topic, and then we'll finish for this part.
So it is a continuation from Monday.
It's a little bit of a continuation from Monday. So on Monday we discussed the unique aspect to Zoreya, to planting, which is unique because it's one of the only malachos, one of the only forbidden activities, where the action that you do doesn't have a direct result that you see. You don't see a direct result. When you plant, when you put the seeds in the ground, it doesn't actually plant till months, years later. So it's a unique malacha, because then the question is, well, what makes you obligated? What makes you biblically violate? How are you violating Shabbos if it doesn't actually come into being until months later, years later? And we said that another type of malacha to that, another forbidden activity, would be cooking, bishul. Because by cooking also, when you put the food in the oven or on the stovetop, so it's still, there's a time gap between your action and the result of cooking, of it being cooked. So we presented two different opinions as to how to resolve this issue. One opinion, which is the Rashash, said that we see, the Gemara tells us that for cooking, it has to be cooked for you to violate the violate Shabbos. It has to be cooked. Because the Gemara says that if it's not cooked yet, so then all things being equal, you should take it out of the oven so that you don't violate Shabbos. So it's better for you to take it out of the oven. So the Rashash says, must be that what is the malacha? How do you define the malacha? The malacha is to set up the process. That is what the malacha is, on condition that the result occurs. It's a condition. Really, fundamentally, the action which is forbidden is just starting the process, putting the food on the fire. That's really what's forbidden. But you still need, it still has to be on condition that something actually takes place. And therefore, this condition can take place after Shabbos. It doesn't have to take place on Shabbos. That's not what's fundamentally forbidden, is not the result of it being cooked. Fundamentally, what's forbidden is just starting the process. So I put the food in the oven. That's what's forbidden. But it's on condition that you end up cooking it. So that if it cooks after Shabbos, it would also be forbidden, as long as you put it in before Shabbos, on Shabbos. The same thing he says is true with regards to the planting. I put the seeds in the ground. That is what's forbidden. But it's on condition that years later, or months later, it'll take root. Taking root would be earlier than it actually growing into a tree. But let's say months, weeks later,
it'll be 3 or 4 days.
It could be.
Depends where or what. What you plant.
Yeah. Frankly, where too.
And where, yeah.
Lettuce. Radishes.
But it doesn't. It takes more than 24 hours.
Yes.
25 hours. So the Rashash says that what's forbidden is just the starting of the process, which is essentially the putting of the seeds into the ground. But it has to actually take root. So if it didn't take root yet, so then you would have to take it out. It would be beneficial to take it out. Because if you take the seeds out, you put the seeds in, take it out, you have not violated anything. You can go play a game where you take it in, put it in, take it out. On a biblical level. But you have to fulfill the condition where it takes root. The Minchas Chinuch argues, he was the opposing opinion, and he said the entire malacha for planting is just that initial step. We don't care about whether it takes root or not.
He says that with respect to planting.
With regards to planting, planting alone. He makes a distinction between planting and cooking, correct. But with respect to planting, let's just focus on planting for now. With respect to planting, it doesn't make a difference whether it takes root or not. It doesn't have to turn into a tree. If I put the seeds into the ground, meaning I'm starting a process which as of now should lead to it taking root, so then I have violated Shabbos. So even if I were to take the seeds out after I put them back in, I have still violated Shabbos. I don't benefit at all by removing the seeds from the ground, because what is usher, what is forbidden, is just to put the seeds into the ground. I'm starting the process. Whether it takes root or not doesn't make a difference. According to the first opinion, it makes a big difference. It has to take root in order for you to violate Shabbos. It can take root after Shabbos, but it has to take root.
The latter seems to be in intent seems to be the most important thing. No?
Intent?
Yeah. I mean, you don't. I don't know. It's not an issue if it comes up. But if the plant comes up, the flower comes up, or the root just takes hold, that isn't the issue.
The
issue is that when you planted it, you had that intention.
Let's say, so let me ask you the following question.
It's a question. I'm not making a case.
I'll give you the following case, and you tell me what you think. Let's say I have in mind, when I put these seeds onto the ground, I also want to take them out in 2 minutes. At the moment that I'm putting it into the ground, according to the second opinion, in the moment that I'm putting it into the ground, I also plan on taking it out in 2 minutes.
Hmm.
For whatever reason. I don't know. I want to see what the halachos of Shabbos are about. But I'm putting it into the ground. Within 2 minutes later, I'm going to take it out. Mm-hmm. My entire intention to begin with was for it never to take root. I never wanted to take root. I was just putting seeds in the ground. We'll see exactly this case, how this case would come up in a minute. A practical case would come up in a minute. So what would you think? Would you think, according to the second opinion, where the whole, what's forbidden is just putting the seeds into the ground, in such a case, where I put the seeds into the ground and then I take it out, would that be forbidden? My entire intention to begin with was to take it out. Yeah, it does. What do you think?
I would say that that would not be considered to be sowing or planting. Because sowing or planting, by definition, is planting or sowing with the intention of creating a crop.
Okay.
So if your intention is not to do that, then it might look like sowing or planting, but it's not.
I don't think intention has anything to do with it. I think it's conduct. Because I think that people can be liable, even accidentally, for if they're walking with seeds in their pocket, they have a hole in the pocket, and they end up,
planting.
But that's, you're liable because you did something by accident.
Yep.
But that's doing something by accident, because if you were to have done it on purpose, you would have been over a biblical violation. Meaning, right. Anytime you do something by accident, it's because, let's say you did the same thing on purpose.
Oh, I see.
So when you did that on purpose, that means you had intent to plant. Meaning, by accident, to know whether you violated something as an accident, whether you have actually violated something, you have to say, well, what would the parallel be if I did that intended? So then that's a case where I intended to do it.
So that's a big deal.
So you can't bring a proof from that case.
All right.
It's a big deal. So shigaga, like.
Yeah, that's exactly. So Dez right now is saying that your intent should make a difference, because the definition of planting is putting seeds into the ground for it to take root. That's the definition of planting. So if I have intentions to remove the seeds a minute later, so I didn't fulfill the definition. The definition is to plant in order for it to take root.
And we're working under the understanding of the Minchas.
This is all within the Minchas Chinuch. I'm ignoring right now the first opinion. All within the second opinion that says that it doesn't have to take root. This is all within the second opinion.
Yeah.
So this is a dispute. There are those that say exactly like Dez, that it's all about intent. The Minchas Chinuch himself, who is the one that addresses this opinion to begin with, happens to disagree. He says that it's all about the action. As long as you have performed that action of putting the seeds into the ground, regardless of what your intent is, you performed an action of planting by putting the seeds into the ground. You have in mind to remove those seeds 2 minutes later. It doesn't make a difference. We focus, we zoom in on that action that you're doing. That action that you're doing is an action of putting seeds into the ground.
Intentionally.
You're intentionally putting seeds into the ground.
That's it.
You happen to be that you have in mind 2 minutes later to take it out, and nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to take root. It doesn't make a difference, because we focus on just the action of putting the seeds into the ground. And what is taking place at that moment? At that moment, I'm putting seeds into the ground, which, if nature takes its course, will take root. It happens to be I externally, from that action, have in mind to take it out, but that doesn't make a difference. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. Others say exactly like you.
Can I give an example of
such a case?
To support me, yeah.
I should give you an example?
No, can I give you?
Yeah, go for it.
You're playing with your kid a game of hide the acorn. So you're going to plant the acorn, you're going to push the acorn into the ground, absolutely not with the intention that it's going to become an oak tree.
Yeah.
But because you're playing a game with your kid.
So okay, that's a good example.
That would be not allowed. I have no intention to plant it.
According to the Minchas Chinuch. This is a dispute. We'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. We'll discuss a similar case in a minute. We'll get to it in a minute.
According to this line of thinking, well, first of all, it makes perfectly good sense that this guy would hold that just the planting, no matter of your intention to take it out, would affect things, because he's the one who disagrees with the Rashash.
No, but the question is, well, how do you define planting?
Right.
Meaning planting, even if it's action oriented about putting the seeds into the ground, maybe it's about putting seeds into the ground with where at least you know that it has that potential to take root. If I have in mind to take it out in a minute, so this has no potential for it to take root. Even at the time that I put it in, it has no potential to take root, because I'm going to take it out in a minute. I'm playing hide and seek. This thing, when I put it into the ground, the acorn into the ground, you can't call this planting, because my action is not one where it even has potential to take root. Because my intended action, yeah. So we have to differentiate between intended action versus focusing on the action itself.
Okay.
What would this action itself accomplish without the intention?
I get that.
So that itself is a dispute all within the second opinion, right? So we have the first opinion, which says that in order to violate Shabbos, it actually has to take root. It's setting up the process where at some point it has to take root. So therefore, for sure, if I remove it before it takes root, so then nothing happened. It has to take root. The second opinion says it doesn't have to...
So you haven't violated the law of Shabbat by just planting it.
It would have to take root a few days later.
Well, that's only the one opinion.
That's the first opinion. Right, that's all the first opinion. The second opinion says that it doesn't have to take root. As long as I just start the process, I violate Shabbos. Within that second opinion, there's a further dispute within that second opinion. All within that second opinion about if it's all about just putting seeds into the ground. That's how I violate Shabbos. Is it because I intend to put the seeds in the ground in order to plant, and that's why I violate Shabbos, by putting the seeds into the ground in order to plant, and that was my intention? Or it has nothing to do with my intention. It's just the action itself of putting seeds into the ground which caused me to violate Shabbos, even if my intention is to remove it 5 seconds later. So that's all a dispute within the second opinion, just within the second opinion. So let's see how we paskin. How do we paskin in terms of this? Now we get to the sources. This is the first source here. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh li zaher, milahashach zroim b'makum yiridas gishamim, shesofon latzmiach. You shouldn't throw seeds around during the rainy season, because it might ultimately lead to growth. Even though you're not digging it into the ground, but still, just throwing seeds on top of the ground, there's a chance here that over the course of the rainy season, it's going to get covered up and something could happen, something could plant. Now, the next part is what's important for us. Vim yashlich l'tarnagolim. Let's say I have in mind to throw seeds to tarnagolim, to chickens, for them to eat. It's parallel to the acorn case.
Right.
Lo yashlich.
This is only on Shabbos. Don't be careful on Shabbos.
On Shabbos. Yeah, we're not talking about during the week. You can do whatever you want. Lo yashlich ala kishir sheyochlu bo bayom ol yomayim. You should only throw the seeds to the chickens that they could eat over the course of a day or two. Why a day or two?
That's how long it would take for those seeds to grow, presumably.
To take root. So if the chickens will eat it within a day or two, so then it's fine. So let's analyze that for a second. The rest is also not for our discussion right now.
Well, according to the opinion, the minchas.
So chinuch, yeah, minchas chinuch.
He probably would say you're not even allowed to feed chicken seeds.
Why? Whoa!
Oh.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
Well, he's saying that the intention doesn't make a difference. The action.
Oh, according to him, according to what he said, right. Even with what he says, correct. Ah, so that's a great point. So let's just flesh out exactly what Dez is saying. Dez has a great point here. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to feed chicken seeds. You're allowed to feed them seeds, as long as they'll eat it before it takes root. You have to make sure it doesn't take root yet. So let's just focus on the first opinion versus the second opinion, the Rashash versus the Minchas Chinuch. The Rashash says in order to violate Shabbos, the first opinion, it has to take root.
Right.
It has to take root. So then this makes a lot of sense. If I give seeds to chickens where I know it will not take root to begin with, not a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. Go ahead, feed your chickens as long as you're only feeding them the amount where you know they'll eat all of it before it takes root. According to the second opinion, the Minchas Chinuch, so he says that just the action itself of putting it into the ground, or on the ground, is a problem. Just the action itself of putting it on the ground is a problem. So if I put it on the ground, even if the chickens will eat it later, so then I violated Shabbos. Even if the chickens will have it later, I still violate Shabbos because I just, the action itself of putting it on the ground will make me violate Shabbos. So it seems to be that the Shulchan Aruch from this halacha is paskening like the first opinion.
Well, the second part of the second opinion.
Yeah.
Slow down. So it's like, it seems to be like the first part, like the first opinion. So many want to say, we could resolve this. In terms of who's the halacha like, so many want to say, we have the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say, like the first opinion, the fact that you could put seeds onto the ground because we know that it will not take root, so that shows us that he holds like the first opinion. That's how many want to say. So there was, his name is Rav Karelitz, he's a big Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. So he wants to say, slow down. We can't really prove from this Shulchan Aruch who we hold like. Slow down. It's not so clear. Why? Even according to the Minchas Chinuch, the second opinion, even according to that second opinion, which says that just the action itself of putting the seeds onto the ground, you violate Shabbos, maybe that's only when your intention is for it to take root. It doesn't have to take root for you to violate Shabbos, but just if I have in mind for it to take root, so then I violate Shabbos. Over here, do I have in mind for it to take root?
No,
that's not my intention. My intention is to feed my chickens. It's not, my intention has nothing to do with it taking root. I'm only giving the amount that they need to eat. I know it's not going to take root. I have absolutely no intention for it to take root. So when I do that action of putting the seeds onto the ground, it's not an action of planting, because I never have intentions for it to take root. So even according to the opinion that says that it doesn't have to take root, it's just the action itself of putting the seeds onto the ground, that's only if I have intentions for it. Over here, intention, sorry, for it. But here I do not have intention for it to take root. That's how they want to explain that. We can't prove from this Shulchan Aruch who we paskin on. You can't prove it. Now let's get to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is the Chafetz Chaim. So he commented on the Shulchan Aruch, on Rav Yosef Karo. And these are the next two sources. So the Mishnah Berurah first here is commenting on the very same Shulchan Aruch that we just quoted. This is in the second source. He says, Oli Yomayim, you're allowed to feed your chickens for the amount that it would take for them to eat over the course of 2 days. He explains why. Dibizman muad kaze lo yitzmechu. At this amount of time, it will not take root. Or it will not grow, sorry. V'kol shekein de lo yishushu b'karka. And certainly, it will not take root. The seeds won't grow, and it for sure won't take root. Mashein kein le gimel yamim v'yoser yitzmechu hazraim. It will take root. It will take root. And then he says, V'yischayev l'mafreya mishum zareya. And then, l'mafreya, retroactively, you'll be obligated because of planting. Let's say you gave enough seeds for 3 days, for the chicken seed over the course of 4 or 5 days. So then, 4 days later, it will take root. Some of them will take root. 3 days later, some of them will take root. You gave them too many seeds. So Mishnah Berurah says that once it takes root, it does take root 5 days later. So retroactively, one has violated Shabbos because once it takes root.
No, retroactive doesn't work with
the Minchas Chinuch. The concept of retroactive doesn't work for the Minchas Chinuch. So because of this language of the Mishnah Berurah, he says once it takes root, so then we say retroactively, he violated Shabbos. So it seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah holds like the first opinion, because he says that it has to take root, and once it takes root, so now we know you violated Shabbos. At whatever point in time it takes root, so now we know that 10 days earlier, when it was Shabbos, when you first initially put the seeds into the ground, you violated Shabbos. The fact that he uses the language of retroactively, it's just that language alone of retroactively doesn't work for the second opinion. There is no concept of retroactively. But according to the second opinion, it's about putting the seeds into the ground, and that's it. Once you put the seeds into the ground, you have violated Shabbos. According to the first opinion, it's putting the seeds in the ground, and now you have to wait a certain amount of time. So then there's a concept of retroactive. Because then 10 days later, once it takes root, so then, now you know, retroactively on Shabbos, you have violated Shabbos. So it seems from this Mishnah Berurah that he holds like the first opinion. But there's another Mishnah Berurah. And I don't have an answer. I think it's just...
The first guy was Rashba.
Rashash. His name is the Rashash. Rashash.
So when we learned the Rashash, we said that it was, the violation was the planting on the condition that it was going
that
to take
it takes
root.
It, right.
And then we said you can rescue that, and it, so there was the possibility of a sort of retroactive exemption, right?
That's correct.
What we talked about.
Correct, there. Exactly.
But a retroactive exemption implies that you were already liable, but for taking the seed out of the ground before it took root.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't necessarily call it a retroactive exemption.
Okay, those were my words, which you agreed with on Monday, but...
On Monday you used those words? Retroactive yes. exemption? Yes, I don't know if actually, I would call it actually a retroactive exemption. I would probably call it just you have not violated anything yet, and you have removed any possibility of being over,
okay.
of being of right. violating anything.
It's kind of like a condition. What do you call it, like in contract law when the condition is unfulfilled?
Yeah,
and now
it's parallel to a condition being unfulfilled.
And you are stopping the condition from being fulfilled. Condition for the benefit of the seller.
Right.
I don't do commercial law.
Neither do I.
So there are parallels there.
Right.
Subject to a condition, and if the condition is not fulfilled, then
yeah, exactly.
There's no.
So here too, I would yeah. Okay. If right. taking the seeds out of the ground, I wouldn't call that retroactively. That's
no.
just nothing has been fulfilled yet.
Okay. All right. So with that understanding.
Okay. I apologize if I agree to your formulation on Monday.
That's all right. We're both tired.
Let's see what he says next week.
Okay,
so that's the first Mishnah Berurah says that you have, once it takes root,
yeah.
so now retroactively we say you have violated Shabbos. So that sounds like the first opinion.
Yeah.
Point second opinion is just right at that time, as long as you put the seeds in the ground, that's it, we're done. It's only according to the first opinion that says that we have to wait and see if it takes root. And so the Mishnah Berurah says, once it takes root, retroactively, you have violated Shabbos. So that language sounds like the first opinion. But the Mishnah Berurah says, there's another Mishnah Berurah which says, I think says otherwise. If you look at the third source here, the Kasav B'Chai Adam, the Chai Adam writes, Duhu Hadin Hashorat Tvur Lasos Mehen L'Shecha. It's forbidden to soak barley to make beer. Chayav, Diyadua De Kavanosa L'Hatzmiyah. Because you have intention for it to grow. When the way to make beer, from what I understand, is that you put the barley into the water so that it grows. The barley grows, and then eventually you turn it into beer.
What's growing, though? The fermentation. It's not a seed, right?
The barley absorbs the water, and so it expands.
It expands.
Yeah, I don't know the process, but I thought there's fermentation and not the
how does it work?
Seedling.
Well, you take the sugar from the barley, cook it, and
but what happens to the barley itself?
When you soak it.
What's that first step?
Theoretically, if you waited long enough, if you don't, I would think there'd be a little sprout.
Yeah.
I would assume that that's what we were talking about
but
here.
But usually we
sprout.
Don't wait that long, right, to make beer, no? I'm not sure.
I know in theory, yeah, I cook it, but I don't know, like high temperature.
But what happens to the barley itself? Does it sprout at some point?
I don't think in the high temperature it would.
It wouldn't. Really.
Maybe warm water.
But this is actually a little interesting because then we're dealing with a case here where you put the barley into water, naturally it would sprout. Right? If what we're saying is correct, naturally it would sprout.
Mm-hmm.
We go out of our way to make sure that it doesn't sprout. Right? So this is also parallel to a case where I put the barley into a situation where it would grow and sprout.
See,
but then I with my intentions undo that.
Right.
But that initial step, if I left it go based on its natural course,
right.
So then it would sprout. It's only because I put it into the high temperatures, if what we're saying is correct. then it doesn't sprout. But just that initial action of putting it into the water will, on its own, lead to its sprout.
Yeah. But you're into this scenario of Des hiding the acorn.
Or the chicken. It's parallel also to the chicken case. Right. All these are the same case, where I put it in with intentions of it changing. Of it, even the chicken case, of the chickens eating it, it won't grow. So he says as follows. The cause of Ode, he also writes, he's quoting from the Chayyadim here, Detekef mishenasan lemayim chayav. When has one violated Shabbos? Right away you violated Shabbos. Afalpi delo yitzmichu el lacher kamu yamin. Even though it doesn't take root for a few days.
Sounds like the first one.
No, second one.
Sounds like the second one. The second one says that just putting the seeds into the ground alone, without it taking root, you have violated Shabbos.
It's smack dab on.
Because you have intention of it not growing, yeah, not spreading, yeah. So the first, but
it is a different suggestion, because when you're soaking it, it sounds like you're soaking it specifically with the intention that it will grow. It's ultimately not going to grow into a new barley bush, but you do want that seed, the initiation of the germination process.
See, I don't know if that's it. I thought the idea.
He says in the end that it's going to grow eventually in a couple of days. He does say that it's going to grow.
And it specifically says, because it is known that your intention is to have it grow. It's not going to grow into new barley, but I think it's.
Yeah, you do have some sort of. It seems to be that you do have intention for it to grow something. To grow somewhere, yeah.
Just like when it's soaking up the water, right. Expanding it, does that constitute the growth?
So apparently it does. Apparently it does.
They're talking about with growth. I don't know if they're talking about fermentation. I don't know if they're talking about the size of the wheat, of the barley berry. I don't know if they're talking about an actual sprout coming out. It's not clear to me.
Yes, I'm not sure either, but I think the focus
the
here...
The intention is to have it grow. What?
I don't know.
Because I think when you make the beer, why would it sprout? That's not the idea, right?
So I'm not sure, but the main focus here is that he says you have violated Shabbos takeif right away.
Right.
Right away is the main focus here. Meaning, it's the exact opposite of the previous Mishnah Berurah, where he says that you have only violated Shabbos if it's retroactive.
Right.
So independent of how the process is, just the language alone, is that originally he said, retroactively you have violated Shabbos. Once it takes root retroactively, then we work backwards. And over here he says that right away, he uses the language of right away you have violated Shabbos. So to say that right away you violate Shabbos, that has to be like the second opinion, which says just putting the seeds in right away, that alone makes you violate Shabbos.
If it's inevitable that the prohibited result is what happens when you soak the barley, that there's no way of not planting in terms of its result as soon as you add the barley, even though it takes some time. You can't undo that process once you've soaked the barley.
Are you asking if you could?
If it is the case that as soon as you add the water to the barley,
the potential
that it's inevitable, even though it's going to take some days, that it's going to change in a way that we think is growth.
What do you mean by inevitable? I could take the barley out of the water.
So you're talking about putting a little bit of barley in water and then literally having the intention of taking
you
it
can
out.
Interrupt the process.
You can interrupt the process if you wanted to. I don't know. But he says that you have violated it right away. So that seems to be a language of like the second opinion. The only suggestion I would have, and I don't like it, is that in the second source here, he's quoting from somebody. This is not his own words. He's actually quoting an opinion. So perhaps that's not his, that he would formulate it differently, but since he's just quoting it, he would fundamentally agree to the law. It's all, we're just focusing on the formulation. So he's gonna quote him the way he's quoting. He's quoting the Chayyadim the way that person says it. But he might disagree in terms of just fundamentally how it's working. But that's my only suggestion.
I think that you said that there's two options, but there's not really. There's a third option.
What's the third option?
Well, there's the Rabash.
Rashash, yeah.
Rashash, who needs a condition.
Correct.
And then the other guy.
Just the action alone.
That has the dispute to his. So it's the action alone.
And then there's like 2A and 2B. There's 2A and 2B.
Action with intention.
Well, that's a dispute within the second
right.
opinion. Yeah.
So this, I think, is the action with the intention. Because it's clearly said.
Yeah, because you have intention. Yeah, I agree. This is action with intention. Correct. But the fact that he says that you have violated it right away, that language of saying you have violated it right away.
But he's saying that you have violated right away because it's going
because
to
of the intention.
Intention.
Yeah, you're saying this also proved 2A.
Right.
Like within the dispute. Whichever one it is. The point is that we care about your intention. The point is that it is pretty clear that we do care about your intention. Correct. So from the Mishnah Berurah also, in the end of the day, it's hard to prove from the Mishnah Berurah which one we hold like. You know, practically, the practical difference would be really in a case where you put seeds into the ground, hiding acorns would be a difference between these two opinions. Let's say you put seeds into the ground and you realize you're not allowed to do it. Are you allowed to? Is there value in taking it out? According to the first opinion, you should take it out. According to the second opinion, what's done is done.
It might even be forbidden
to take
right,
it out because right. it would be muksa perhaps. But those would be the practical differences between these two different opinions.
Maybe the second case is. Because like the result, like it happens right away. It says
it takes a couple of days. He says in the end that it does take a few days for it to grow. Why is your experience with barley that like it grows?
Maybe there's no like maybe it's just talking about two different cases. Maybe it's not the same case.
No, this is all one line. So it seems pretty clear that this is.
I planted the same seeds of a certain vegetable, and sometimes the condition. I don't know what it is. If it's the kind of soil, or it's the temperature, or it's the humidity in the air, sometimes it'll come up overnight. Other times you have to wait for a week.
Oh, really?
Yep, really.
Now, there's chia seeds, for example, that my son uses a lot. You soak them overnight, and they sprouted the next morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
This is interesting. High protein.
What would be interesting is if you put the chia seeds in the soil. Because I doubt that it would come up overnight.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't specifically have to be in soil. From this case, we see that
you can plant hydroponically.
That works.
The prohibition on planting includes hydroponic planting, right?
Yes. We'll get into this a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So that's all the discussion in terms of the Minchas Chinuch Rashash.
So we're left with
Mechlachot. The way most do Pasim, from the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch, it's not really conclusive. The way most Pasim is really like the second opinion, like the Minchas Chinuch, to say that you have violated it as soon as you just put the seeds into the ground. So there would be...
Irrespective of intention.
So intention is a discussion. That itself is a discussion.
That's what I find.
So the chickens in that pot.
Hiding the acorn would be a dispute. That would be a dispute. I'm not sure how we go in terms of that. But hiding the acorn would be a dispute based on the two different ways of understanding the second opinion. So that would be a dispute. Anyway, so it's very interesting to see the progression of how the different, this in this case it's different, it's the later commentators, this is really 17th, 18th century commentators, how they perceive planting and then how it comes out into the halacha, into the actual halacha, the whole progress of that. I wanted to deal with a short topic for the rest of the time. I hope we'll be able to finish this. Until now, we've been dealing with is it the action or is it do you also need the results? That's the dispute between the first two opinions. But then you have to deal with a separate question of, well, how do you define planting?
Right.
What constitutes planting? Forget about the action and the results. Just is putting seeds into the ground the only definition for planting, or are there other definitions for planting? How exactly define planting? What's the prohibition within planting? So we'll see this. We'll see this. This will take us to the rest of the time. If you look at the bottom source here, Rashi on the Gemara says, Zomer Chayef, pruning is a biblical violation. To prune a tree, I think we discussed this last Thursday, also causes the tree to grow. Besides the fact that you have violated cutting, there's a separate violation in cutting off something from its natural source. There's a separate violation here because you are now allowing the tree to grow. By pruning it, you're allowing the tree to grow.
You're actually encouraging it.
Sorry. Encouraging it. That's what I meant. Encouraging it. So Rashi says, Mishim toldas noteya. This is it's a tolda. It's a subcategory. Why? Why is this a problem? Dilitzmuchei avid. It's for the purpose of growing the plant.
Here's intention.
So because it's for the purpose of growing the plant, so Rashi says that it seems to be the definition of planting is not just putting seeds into the ground, but it's really a bit of a broader definition of just allowing the plant to grow. Whatever would constitute allowing the plant to grow, which let's say, what else would that include?
Watering
the plant. Watering the plant.
Moving a potted plant into the sunshine.
Moving a potted plant into the sunshine. We'll discuss that also. We will discuss, I don't know if we'll discuss this next week or not, but let's say you have plants in your house and you want to open the shades to your window to have some sun in your living room.
Ooh.
And there are plants there. Now it's going to help the plants grow. Is that? I'll leave you in suspense. Don't do anything this don't do anything this Shabbos, and we'll discuss it next week.
Or at the hotel.
All
plastic plants.
So we'll discuss. We'll discuss this next week. Okay, so it seems to be for Rashi, the definition is just to allow the plants to grow. Not necessarily putting seeds into the ground. But seeds into the ground is an example of just allowing plants to grow. Now there's an interesting Gemara here, turning the page. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, you have a perforated pot. There's a perforated pot that has holes in the bottom. If you have a perforated pot which is on a peg, it's on pegs, it's not directly touching the ground, but it's a little elevated from the ground. And the hinicha agabi karkos, so what did you do on Shabbos? You took the plant, the plant which is in a perforated pot, from its elevated status, which is a little bit above the ground, and you place it onto the ground. So we say chayav mishim noteya. You have violated the biblical. It was a biblical violation of planting.
You've increased.
What have you increased? What happened?
Increased,
so let's discuss this. What happened?
Well, you would be increasing the favorable condition. You'd be increasing conditions favorable for its taking off and growth.
Okay.
Plant, I mean, they like soil, you know.
Okay.
I'll have a different take on it. I'll say that planting in the ground is connected to the earth. And if it's in a pot plant, which is disconnected from the earth by those pegs, that's not really planting, because they're not planting in...
But does it have to be connected to the earth? Let's say I have a plant that's in a regular pot, and I water it.
Wouldn't it still be growing, even if it's...
I have flowers in my living room, and I water that. Have I violated Shabbos by watering it?
Yep.
Yes. So it's not about necessarily connecting to the ground, per se.
It's
what it is about is about
facilitating growth.
But this perforated pot, it's growing in that pot, isn't it?
It's already growing.
Yeah.
Just the fact that even in its original state, it's been growing.
Yeah.
Why are you facilitating? Explain that to me. I didn't get that. Why are you facilitating growth?
In this particular case?
Yeah.
Because eventually the plant is going to reach a limit growing in the pot because the soil's only so big and the pot's only so big.
No, right now it remains in the pot.
But it remains
in the pot.
But if you put this perforated pot on the ground, eventually the roots are going to be looking for nutrients, reach into the ground itself. It's going to have more source of food, and it's going to have more source of growing roots and be bigger and stronger.
But it's on pegs.
Right now it's on pegs. But originally it still gets through the perforations anyway. They could go anyway. The roots could go anyway.
But without nutrients, it'll die.
No, it gets nutrients. Right now it gets nutrients.
No, but I'm saying if it's...
But it's just because there's a airspace, there's a gap between them, so I think it takes longer for the nutrients to get to the plant.
No, no. If you're talking about a pot with holes in the bottom of it,
yeah.
Okay, the plant's in that perforated pot. It has a certain amount of soil.
Yeah.
And in time, eventually it will die. It'll go through all the nutrients in that pot.
No, if it's just on a peg?
If it's in a pot and it's not touching the ground.
It's not touching the ground, but it's on pegs which are touching the ground. Meaning
so
it's
what?
Outside.
So what? Pegs are bricks. It's above the ground is the
it's
point.
It's slightly above the ground.
It's above the ground.
I think it will still grow.
Correct
me if I'm wrong, but I think
it's
still...
It will,
it's going to grow. It's just not going to grow as quickly.
It's just not going to grow as quickly.
And eventually it'll die.
So let's just read a little. Let's just read a little bit, and then we'll discuss. So the Gemara says that you have violated Shabbos. The Rambam says that this is a biblical violation. This is in the next source here, source 6. Gavshusha shall offer sha'alu ba asavim. You have a mound of dirt that has grass on it. I want to ignore that case. Let's discuss the second line. Let's say you had this mound of dirt that had grass on it and it was on pegs. Vihinicha ala arts and you placed them onto the ground. Chai mishum zoreya. Exactly like the Gemara.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing. So fine. That's a biblical violation. Now skip, I accidentally put the sources out of order. Skip to source 8, which is the Hagosa Shri. The Hagosa Shri is also a earlier commentator. He's a Rishon. And he says as follows. O imunach agabi yisedos v'inich agabi karka chayev. What does he say? You have violated it. He says, mishim noteya umidira banan. He says, it's not a biblical violation. This is rabbinic. He says this is a rabbinic prohibition. He says this is a rabbinic prohibition. Why? Even though it was getting nutrients originally, in its original status, it was getting nutrients from the ground.
Before one put it on the ground?
Yeah, it was getting some nutrients from the ground. It was minimal amount.
How?
When it was on the pegs.
How?
I don't know the science behind it.
Are we talking soil or ground?
So it was
you don't,
on pegs, which are on soil, which is...
This is not... It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. Steve, is this scientifically? Is this...
The Hagos Ashri, maybe... His case may be that the roots have already wound down the pegs.
That's possible.
But if that's true, then what's the difference whether you place it... What's the difference whether you place it on the ground or not?
Because
there wouldn't be, ultimately. It would be getting nutrients from the ground.
It would be getting nutrients from the ground. It's just you may end up facilitating further growth because they've got more access.
It'd happen more quickly.
The nutrients quicker.
Yeah, once you put it on the ground, you'd be encouraging growth.
Roots wouldn't be just restricted to go down the
meaning
bags,
they
could
this happens to
more.
Me all the time.
So the nutrients will... You'll get the nutrients at a quicker
what's
pace.
What's more, theoretically, it's not limited. Whatever's in this perforated pot, there's a finite quantity.
Okay.
But if it's in the ground,
the case then has to be where it already took root when it was on the pegs, and now you're moving it to the ground.
It took root where?
Already from in its original state, when it was on pegs.
Where did it take root? In the pot?
In the ground.
You have to be clear. Yeah.
Sorry, in the ground. Yeah. And then you move it to the floor of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You move it to the floor of the ground. So the Rambam says it's a biblical prohibition. Mm-hmm. And the second opinion says that it's rabbinic. Mm-hmm. Right? So we have the case here. It took root, but it was a little elevated from the ground. And now you're moving it to the ground itself. So we have a dispute here. Whether this is a biblical or rabbinic prohibition.
How does it read the rabbinic? The biblical?
How is it biblical?
How does that read? I'm not clear. Why?
Why would it be biblical?
What is the biblical prohibition?
Oh, so what is the dispute here? So let's try to discuss what's this dispute here. What are they arguing about? So, were you about to say something? No. So, if what we're saying is correct, what is happening here is that the nutrients that this plant would get would be the same whether it was elevated or not, or whether it would be directly on the ground. The nutrients themselves, it's connected to the ground, it will get the same nutrients. The only difference is the pace. The pace of how quickly it's going to get those nutrients. So now you have a dispute. is planting about providing access to more nutrients / more water. You're giving more access to, you're providing more items of availability. You're giving more nutrients, more water to the plant to allow it to grow. Or is it about just quickening the pace of getting the same nutrients? Right? Because here it's getting the same exact nutrients. It's connected to the ground already. But if you quicken the pace, is that a biblical prohibition or not? So according to the first opinion, the Rambam, it is a biblical prohibition. Why?
Even though
it's getting the same exact nutrients, but you're quickening the pace at which the nutrients are coming to the plant.
So pace is a biblical...
So the pace, for him,
it's a biblical
for him thing. Would be a biblical prohibition. Because the pace at which the nutrients are going to reach the plant are going to be quicker now. Even though it's the same exact nutrients, it will get the same exact nutrients as in its original state. According to the second opinion, no. In order to violate planting, you have to add something to it. You have to add something which you didn't have previously. You have to add nutrients. You have to add water, add sunlight, something.
We're adding nothing.
Here you're adding nothing. You're just quickening the pace at which the same nutrients would have been there at some point. You're just quickening that pace. So now we have a dispute here as to whether it's about adding nutrients or whether it's about just quickening the pace, even if you don't add anything.
There's one other thing that I don't know if we need it for the discussion, but the longevity of whatever you planted would definitely be increased if it's in the ground itself, not in just the plant, not just in the pot.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
If even though it took root already when it was.
Yeah, I think so.
So I haven't seen that discussed.
But anyhow, it's not.
Okay.
I would say, in the broadest possible terms, it's like anything that creates a more favorable growing environment for the seed.
Yeah.
Is a biblical prohibition.
Is a biblical prohibition. Yeah. Is planting.
I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far. More favorable. Let me ask you the following question.
Encourages it.
No. What about in the case as follows? Let's say there are stones on grass. Have I violated the biblical prohibition of planting by removing those stones? Well, that encourages growth.
It sure does, because the stones on top of it, all the grass is going to be yellow and white. It's no chlorophyll. I mean, it's going to be... Eventually, it'll die, is what will happen with the stones on it.
But I'm not actively providing nutrients for the plant, or even...
You're lifting the shade.
I'm removing something to...
You're lifting the shade in your room and letting sunshine on your plants that haven't moved. It's the same thing, is it not? You're raising your shades or drawing your curtains.
Maybe that would be allowed.
Sounds too close to...
Well, I'm not saying that's a... We'll get into that. But I'm not saying that that's a biblical prohibition. But according to your definition that I think, according to the definition you gave, which is anything which...
Encourages growth.
Stimulates growth. That would include removing a rock off grass, according to you. So I'm not sure we would go that far.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we would go that far. It's possible we do, but that's an extension of what we're saying right now. That's more than what we're saying right now. Right now we're just saying that you have to actively either allow more nutrients into the plant or at a quicker pace, but it's about actively causing growth as opposed to just removing a barrier as of now. Which will lead to the very next source.
It's leading me right to disconnecting a patient from a machine. So I don't know why I started thinking about that at that same moment. You know?
That's a totally different discussion.
I know it is, but that's where I went.
Let's get back to source 7. Source 7 is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says what we just said. It says, Kol Davar, it's not just about encouraging growth. He says, Kol Davar Shuhu Mashbiach HaPri. It improves the fruit. It's not just stimulating growth, but anything which improves, the language is even different.
Yeah,
until now, we had the language of stimulating growth.
We had nothing to do with
now it. Now it's about improving the fruit. Chai Mishim Zori. You're obligated, it's a biblical violation of Zoraya, of sowing. And he gives examples. He's quoting from the Talmudic... from the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud. Hamavrith, Hamarchiv, Vamekarsim, Hamazarer, Hamafasil, Hamazahim. Some of these I don't even know in terms of what the process is. But included within it is bending, grafting, removing debris, Removing also smoke, I think it's also removing smoke. The English translation is really removing smoke. Removing anything which is preventing its growth is a biblical prohibition. So your definition that you had is correct for that opinion. For that opinion. So anything which would remove something which is preventing the growth.
Or retarding.
Itself is also a form of planting, because anything which will encourages. Allow it to grow.
Encourages, really.
Right, it encourages it. You're not providing nutrients in this case. You're not providing any nutrients. But you're just removing debris. That alone is a biblical prohibition of planting. That would be a biblical prohibition of planting.
I wonder why they used fruit there. All of a sudden we see fruit. We had dirt, we had all kinds of things. Fruit is...
So many want to take this Yerushalmi at face value and say that's what it means. It means that anytime that you remove debris, so then you have violated the biblical prohibition. Mm-hmm. Others, specifically Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, was the leading rabbi in Eretz Yisrael in the previous generation.
What did he say?
So he said that these cases here are discussing cases where it's part of the planting process to remove certain items. It's not. It can't be that this is just like a random stone on the ground that you're removing, because that's not an active part of the planting process. It's specifically dealing with cases where it's part of the planting process. Is also it's normal to be in a situation where you have to remove certain things in order to allow it to grow.
Asparagus.
It's part of the process. Why? What happens by asparagus?
Well, you know. If you, like the French, for example, they'll remove dirt. Uh-huh. And the base of the asparagus, it's yellow under, and then they cut it immediately. Uh-huh. Right? That's
so if it's part of the... So he wants to say it's only part of the process. Because he says it's impossible to say that just removing something would be a violation, biblical violation of planting. It has to be that it's part of the process. It has to be that something which is part of the planting process, and then it would be a biblical violation. So just to discuss in the last few minutes some practical cases like this for this last understanding of the Yerushalmi. So they discuss, let's say, the sprinkler system is on Shabbos. It happened to turn on Shabbos. So I'm definitely not allowed to turn it on Shabbos, because that's just pouring water onto the grass. But let's say it's too much. It's been going on for too long, and it's going to destroy the grass. Am I allowed to turn off the sprinkler system to make sure that it doesn't die? So that would be a problem, according to this Yerushalmi. According to this Yerushalmi. But not if you assume, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. If you assume, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that it has to be part of the process, so then this is not a case where it's part of the process.
Of stimulating growth.
It's not normal. It's not part of the normal process of planting to have a scenario where the sprinkler system is on for too long.
It's being flooded.
Right.
That's not part of the normal process.
Flooding is not a part of
flooding. So Rosh Hashanah would say that this would not be a biblical prohibition to turn off the sprinkler system.
Right. Might be other problems, but not a planting problem.
I'm not even sure if there would be any problems. If it's all manual.
Oh.
Let's say you have a sprinkler system which is manual, and you could turn it off just by turning something.
Right.
So then potentially he might hold that would be perfectly fine. Right. Another case that they discuss is covering plants from the snow. The snow might, I think they... Might crush it, yeah. So let's say you want to cover plants from the snow.
Well, it freezes, I think.
The snow will freeze the plants, or whatever it is, yeah. So there are those that say that that's a problem. There are those that say that would be... that.
Oh,
you want to put something over the plant to protect the plant from the snow.
Right.
So that would also be a parallel case. Where Shlomo Zalman, I think, would also say in that case that would not be what the Yerushalmi is talking about, because that's also not the normal way. It's not normal to. It's a case of snow. It's totally not normal.
No, but how would you cover it? I mean, you just like throw a sheet or something.
Yeah, throw a sheet over the plants just so the snow doesn't get to it.
You do that. Yeah. You can even keep warmth in it by.
But so you basically you're trying to protect it from death.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're protecting it from death.
But exactly. The actual act of covering, putting is not
stimulating. Oh, if it wasn't snowing,
right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
So then, how is that different from switching off the tap, really? Because in both cases, you You're not, the act itself doesn't...
No, those two would be parallel cases. Those two are parallel cases.
No, you can.
Those two
you
are...
Similarly, you can do it in both cases.
The plant
well, no.
Die.
What do you mean? You could do it or you can't do it?
Can.
According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you could do
yes.
it. According to the other opinions, you wouldn't be able to do
no.
it. Yeah, that would be a dispute between yeah. the other opinions versus Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Then there's...
Zalman, where is he?
Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He's not on this page. He's not on this page. There's a further distinction which is made, which is also by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, which we quoted last time, which whose grandson is Abe Sachs. So he gives a further distinction, and he says that to do something to prevent some sort of death would be allowed only when that thing is not around right now. For example, let me say practically what we're dealing with here. Let's say the case is snow. If you know that it will snow in a few hours, so for you to put that protection, that covering on,
clear
before
plastic.
it's not even snowing yet, so then that would be perfectly fine. Because at that point in time when you're putting it on, the snow is not around to kill the plant.
However,
so to put the cover on beforehand would be fine. But if it's currently snowing,
okay.
and it's actively in the process of killing the plant,
right.
you're not allowed to save it.
So then you can't cover it. That's a further distinction. Well, assuming that it's not prohibited. Assuming that it's already prohibited. Not like Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Assuming that it is prohibited, so then there would be a distinction between whether you're allowed to cover it before it starts snowing versus when it already started to snow.
So... 8 o'clock in the morning, you're about to leave for shul. You've been told by your neighbor who says you're about to leave, that you covered your plants because
yeah.
because snow's on the way. The forecast of snow is on the way.
Correct.
And it's supposed to be arriving in a few hours. And, Shabbos services are slow.
Right.
It's a big long cache. So you're not going to get it back then. So you can do it under... the Yerushalmi opinion at 8 o'clock in the morning.
At 8 o'clock in the morning? And according to Rosh Hashanah, you could do it when it's snowing.
Right.
So there are two ways to get out of the issue. It's either to
right.
cover it before it starts snowing.
Right.
Or according to Rosh Hashanah, you could even cover it while it's snowing.
Right.
Because he holds that the only time that it's a problem is when it's part of the natural planting
right.
process.
Planting process right.
But here it's not the natural planting process.
Mm-hmm.
Snow. So these are some practical differences between the Yerushalmi. And according to the Bavli, all this would be allowed.
Right.
This is only according to this last opinion. According to every other opinion, this would be allowed. We, in general, we try to be more machmir and stringent like this last opinion. But again, if you hold like Rosh Shlomo Zalman, this last opinion is very limited to cases where it's part of the planting process. Okay, I think we'll stop here.